What an incredible thought that is. To be in the presence of God in such a way that He would pour His Holy Spirit out on us. Imagine what would happen if another day of Pentecost happened today. Whew. Wow, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? God move among us. I want to start out, and I want you to, if you want to write this down somewhere, you can do that, but I want you to consider, answer three words here. If I were to ask you, in your arena of life, whether it be your career, whether it be your hobby, whether it be whatever it is, but where you spend most of your time, if I were to ask you the question, what are three things that you would need to consider yourself successful in that area? What would they be? What would make you successful in your eyes? If you want to write them down, you know, just kind of think about that, see what you find. We define success in many different ways, don't we? And a lot of times, the way that we define success is who we are, what we have, and what we do. If I have the office with the view in the corner on the top floor, then I am successful. If I have the car, the house, I can take the right vacations, I have all the toys, and I have the bank account to go with all of those things, then I am successful. And it's a reality in which we live today. It's a false reality, but if you look at Facebook today, you see how everybody plays on these definitions of success. Take a few moments if you're on Facebook and just look from the standpoint of what people want us to see on Facebook. Nobody goes on Facebook and shows their failures, do they? You don't see somebody go on Facebook and they're like, wow, man, you know, I messed up dinner today. I burned everything, you know. You don't see them going and their car broken down on the side of the road and they're going, yeah, I accidentally put the wrong gas in again. You know, you don't see those things. What do we see? We see the picture, the beautiful picture of the sunset, the toes in the scene, and the caption underneath says, my office for the next 5 days. Right? We see, look at the new update on my new house. Look at the boat that I have, and I'm taking it out on the ocean. I mean, we see all of these things, these beautiful pictures. Everything looks great, but what we don't see is the car that's broken down. What we don't see is the room that's a mess. What we don't see is the kitchen that the kids destroyed. We don't put all those things because we know that if we put those things out, people will consider us unsuccessful, right? Where is our focus? This morning I want to talk about our focus, and I want to go to Luke chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the parable that is called the parable of the rich fool. And we're going to start at verse 16 in Luke chapter 12. Jesus once again, it says, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will demand it from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. You know, this is a very interesting parable to me because Jesus calls the man what? A fool. You fool. But when you consider this from man's standpoint, from human standpoint, from probably our standpoint, if we would have met this guy, we would have said, man, that guy is successful. By all accounts, he was a successful man. successful farmer. He was able to produce the crop. And God, or Jesus, notice here, he doesn't call him a fool because he didn't plan. He doesn't call him a fool because he was unethical in gaining the wealth that he had. He didn't call him a fool because he didn't have business sense. All of those things were things that we would have put down as successful. God doesn't point to that. But Jesus says that he is a fool. And why would he call him a fool? The simple answer is misplaced focus. God says, here's what the deal is. The man who was here misplaced his focus. It was all about himself and nothing else. Misplaced focus is something that is easy to see, isn't it? It's easy to do in our lives. I mean, I know that I do it quite often where I notice that I'm wandering down the wrong road. Misplaced focus. And we see it in this story many different ways. But misplaced focus comes in various forms. For example, it might be more entitlement or blessed. Which do we see? Which is our focus? Do we focus on things as being entitled or being blessed? You can see the man in the story here. His idea was he was entitled to what he had. Notice the words that he would say. I have done this. I made this happen. I have all of these things. This is mine, everything. And it's easy for him to get to the place where he figures that I made all of this happen. Therefore, it is all mine. And it's easy to get there. But when we read in Deuteronomy 18 or 8:18, this is what God says to the people of Israel. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God saying, look, yeah, you might be successful, but remember who gave you everything that you need to be successful. The rich fool, he sat there and he said, I have done everything that I need. I'm entitled to all of this. But he forgot something that's very important. You talk to a farmer today, and you will find out very quickly that they are dependent upon a few different things. If it doesn't rain during the course of the year, they're not going to have a good crop. They can do everything that they want to do, everything in their power to make it work. But if they don't get rain, they don't get crop. If the ground is not good, they don't get crop. They are dependent upon a lot of things. And so here this guy, he's sitting there and he doesn't even consider any of that. He just simply says, I did it all myself and therefore it is all mine. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. And actually, I'm going to have you keep your finger there because we're going to be coming back to that a few more times this morning. But 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, Paul is encouraging Timothy as a young pastor, and he says, this is what I want you to do. Timothy, listen to what I have to say. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see where our focus should be. Do we see that everything that we have is a blessing from God? You know what? God doesn't hate the wealthy. God doesn't loathe bestowing blessing upon his children. He loves to do it when the focus is in the right place, when our focus is on the blessing of God that he has provided rather than it is mine and I deserve this. Do I ever live in such a way that I believe God owes me? The moment my mind goes to there, I've lost focus. Am I entitled or am I blessed? Which way do I see it? We also see in the rich fool, the mentality of ownership over stewardship, which is our focus, ownership or stewardship. Because how we look at this, how this focus is in our lives, impacts greatly how we use what we have. The things that God has blessed us with, we see it differently, we use it differently, don't we? There's a phrase, or actually a two-letter word that we learned at a very, very young age. Anybody know what that word was? Well, that was one too. Not no. My. My. It's mine. Four letters after that. But we moved it. And mine. You have kids in your home. You had kids in your home. You probably heard that word or some form of that word many times in the day, didn't you? Fights often started in the home with, that's mine. Notice the rich fool. Notice how many times in the parable that he uses the word my. It is my surplus, my barns, my life to enjoy. He's all of a sudden, his whole thing is this is my stuff to do with whatever I want. It belongs to me. Yet in 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says these words, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What a difference of focus, isn't it? Everything that we have been given is a gift from God that we receive. It is not something that is mine to hold on to. We are to use whatever gifts that we have received for His purposes. We are simple stewards of it that He has given to us. Again, that changes everything. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, again, if you're back there, Paul says to them, tell them to be rich in good deeds. Rich in good deeds. Use the things that God has blessed them with, that God has laid on them, to be good deeds for others. When we see ourselves as stewards over owners, it changes our focus dramatically. As a matter of fact, it puts me in a place where what I have, I hold on to loosely because I want to be generous towards God. I don't hold on to it tightly because it's not mine to hold on to. But God has given it for purposes of use. Another thing that we see that the misfocus can be is on, am I the protector? Or am I a helper? Am I a protector or a helper? We see the rich fool in this story. He was a protector. He wanted to protect his things. Notice what he says. He goes, man, I have a surplus of stuff. I have all of this stuff. What am I going to do with all of this stuff? Oh, I got a great idea. I'm going to hoard it to myself. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to build bigger barns so that I can store more and that I can keep it for myself. Now, here's the question that I wrestled with when I read this. Do you think that he had any clue that there were people around him that were hurting and in need? You can almost guarantee that the fool in this story knew people, maybe even had family members that were hurting, that could have used some of that extra excess of grain that he had found. But no, in his mind it was, I may not have this for the next year. So therefore I have to protect what I get. Again, in 1 Peter 4:10 that we read just a moment ago, Peter says, use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. God gives to us not so that we can protect it for ourselves, but so that we can help others, that we can give, that we can be generous towards others. Now, some may look at this First Peter passage and they go, well, that's great, but this is about spiritual gifts, right? That's about those spiritual gifts. Well, if you read the full portion of this, goes around, one of these things that he says is, use your house and be hospitable to people. Use the things that God has given you beyond those spiritual gifts that we read in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians 12. He says, go beyond those things. Use everything, anything that God has given to you, what you have received, use it to serve others. This means spiritual gifts. This means material possessions. This means our wealth. Back in Timothy 1, or 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 again, in verse 18, Paul says, be generous and willing to share. As you gain these blessings, be generous with it. Be willing to share. You know, this is such an incredible object lesson that we can have. You look in life, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen God do this, that He has blessed people who use the blessing to be a blessing to other people. And you know what God tends to do in a situation like that? He continues to bless them. I have watched this time and time again where people who have used the gifts that God has given them to be a blessing to God, that God piles more blessings upon them because He knows that their focus is in the right place. They're not protectors of what He gives to them. They're willing to be helpers. They're willing to share it. And on the flip side, I've seen it where people have gotten something from God and what they've said is, wow, this is, I couldn't even imagine this. And then they just close it up within. And you know what happens to that? Before they know it, it's gone. And they've missed out on the opportunity. Am I a protector or am I a helper? Am I holding the gift or am I sharing the gift? The fool held on to his stuff. Another misplaced focus that we see in this story is independence versus dependence. Or am I independent or am I dependent? In the story, we see that the man was very independent. The fool looked at himself and said, look, I've done all of this. And you can almost see him with a sense of pride. Look at what I've done. I have done so much that I need to tear down my old barns. I need to build new ones. And then, you know what? And I'm going to have a great time with life. I don't need anyone else. Even notice in this story, the fool never even once thanks God for the abundance that God has given to him. He doesn't say, you know what? Oh, God, I thank you that you have blessed me in this way and I'm going to be dumb about it. He didn't say that. He simply jumps right to the, this is what I will do. This is what I'm going to do. I will tear down my barns. I will build bigger ones. I will store my surplus grain. I will do it by myself. Now again, as a parent, have you ever heard that one before? I can do it myself. That came shortly after my or mine, right? You see them, they're trying to do something, and as a parent, you want to go and you help them, and they pull away from you, and they say, I can do it myself. And how well did that usually work? Not often. Solomon in Proverbs 16:3 says these words, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. One of the most important parts of our focus being in the right place, not misplaced focus, but being in the right place, is understanding that our dependence is upon God for everything. I can do nothing on my own. Did you wake up this morning and just simply go, wow, God, thank you for that last breath? See, without God, we don't even breathe. Without God, we don't talk. Without God, we can't play instruments. Without God, we can't drive a car. We can't read a book. We can't talk to somebody. Without God, we are nothing. Again, in 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, tell those who are wealthy to put their hope in God. Put their hope in God, not in wealth. And when they do this, they will lay up for themselves treasures and a firm foundation. But the hope begins with a dependence upon who Christ is, on who God is. The moment that my focus shifts to something else, The moment that my focus shifts to that my job is the part that I am dependent upon, we've lost focus. When it becomes this person that I'm seeing, this person that I'm living with, this whatever it is, when we begin to see that these things are the important things in our lives, then all of a sudden the focus has been misplaced because our dependence moved from dependence on God to a perceived independence. The fool was seen as a fool because he saw himself without any need of God. What about you? Another one is misplaced focus falls in the area of perception or reality. How do we even view life? I'm sure you've had those times where you've talked with somebody and you walked away and you went, boy, are they living in a fantasy world. Haven't you? I mean, you just listen to them talk and you're like, there's reality and then there's what you're talking about and they just don't match up. They're not the same thing. I remember when we moved down to Mequon and we were starting in the church down there, we had someone, we were looking for a home to buy. And so, you know, when we're kind of trying to find this place. Now, understand that the church that we served at the time was in River Hills. River Hills is the most affluent neighborhood in Milwaukee and probably in all of Wisconsin. And so the church is there. We can't afford there. So we're looking for a house somewhere else that we can actually move into. But I remember one day we were in church and somebody walks up to us and they go, you're buying a house in River Hills, right? And how? We had a saying that if you can't see the house from the road, you can't afford the house. There was a lot of houses you couldn't see from the road. And so we were like, this is not even close to reality. And sometimes as people, we live in that mindset, the perception that all of this is what I have done, this is all good for me, this is all that I have, and that I have all the time in the world to enjoy it. Remember the words of the fool. I will build my barns, I will store it, I will enjoy it for the rest of my life, and I will eat, drink, and be merry. That was his perception. And God says, you fool, tonight, this very night, your life will be required of you. Tonight you die. We had a missionary couple that we knew, friends of ours, and they had come back home from the mission field and they were transitioning into church ministry in the United States. And the night that happened and they had spent the whole day packing, filled the U-Haul, they were all ready. The next day they were taken off, they were heading down the road to their new ministry. They were excited about it all. They went to bed, they fell asleep, and in the middle of the night he had a heart attack and he was gone. They didn't do anything wrong. Planning isn't wrong. Being prepared isn't wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. But what the reality of that situation was, tonight, your life will be required of you. Again, Paul says in 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth. The perception that we see in our culture of today is wealth's the answer. It will be the answer to all my problems. If I just had a little bit more, then everything would be okay. If I could just make the next promotion, then life will be much more enjoyable. If I could just put a little bit more away for retirement, then in a few years maybe I can retire early and enjoy retirement as much as possible. We live in the if-only world. But the reality is simply this. One day, our life will be required of us. And you know what? No level of wealth will keep us one extra day longer. No matter how my bank account looks, no matter how many toys and things I have in my garage, no matter what I have, it will all still be there, and I will stand before God, and I will give an account for everything that He has given to me that I have received in this life and how I have used all of that. What was my focus? I will stand before Him and give an account for my focus. And you see, the fool was the man who didn't look beyond the moment. He only looked to the temporal, and he didn't see what would happen down the road and say, you know what, I need to do something better. What is our perception in life, and does it match up with the reality? If our reality is not eternity in mind, then we have misplaced focus. But there's one more that Jesus brings into this that's very important for us to get, and the fool missed it. Are we selfish or generous? The rich fool lost it here in a big way, because in everything that he says, it was important to himself. This is what I have done. This is what I've made. This is who I am. I want to enjoy life. It's all about me. This is a tough one for us, because this is what we are hearing day in and day out, aren't we? This is what media tells us. This is what television tells us. This is what everything around us tells us, is that it's all about you. Watch out for you. Take care of yourself. You deserve whatever you want. It's your choice. Do what you want in your life. And we are seeing more and more people making decisions based on self, rather than God, let alone anybody else. As you know, I'm kind of one of those sports guys. I like a good game. I like to play sports. It's getting harder to do that, but I enjoy playing. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy talking, all of that. I love sports. And one of the things that I've watched over the generations since I started watching sports is a shift in focus. There was a time when sports were played for the joy of the sport. Now, all of a sudden, we find that that has shifted. We have players that are saying, well, you know what, I know that there's this going on, but I need to have my breaks too. I deserve breaks. I make multi-millions of dollars, and that's very tough to make multi-millions of dollars playing a game. And then all of a sudden, you'll see one of them that goes, you know what? I'm worth far more than the millions that I'm making. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to play until they pay me more millions of dollars to play the game that I'm already getting paid millions of dollars for. It makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? What we're seeing is this shift. We see it everywhere. Sports, you know, we're seeing it in our generational differences as well. Now, this is not to say one generation is better than the other. You can argue that at another time. But one of the things that we've seen is a generational shift over the years. Just consider the area of just career for a moment. In our career, we enter the career for very different purposes depending on what generation we're in. They have found that in the great generation, or the greatest generation it was called, that when they've had a job, they were loyal to that job for life. Whether they liked it or not, they stayed in that one. And most of the people of that generation worked one place, one job, from start to finish. They were loyal to that job because they knew that that job was what they needed to support their family. Slowly through the generations, there's been a shift. From one generation to the next, it went from loyalty for completely. It went to providing for my family. It went to advancement within the company. From advancement within the company, it went to, I want to be able to experience life. I want to enjoy life. That actually, to now, what we're finding is in our millennial generation, in our younger generations that are out there, some are willing to take a lower salary in order to have more life experiences, to have the freedom to be able to go and do things that they would enjoy. They want to be gone. They want to have fun. They want to experience. Now, is it right? Is it wrong? No, it's different. But the focus is something that we see that is changing. It's going from others-focused to self-centric. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I want to do. And this is a misplaced focus. In the parable, Jesus closes it by saying, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." If our focus is on self, then our focus is misplaced. But it's hard, isn't it? Because we're programmed differently. We're programmed with self in mind, so we need to shift that programming and that focus. Have you ever thought, well, actually, let me put it this way. How do you feel when you give someone a gift? How do you feel when you are generous towards God? No strings attached, just giving something. How do you feel? There might be two very different feelings here. There might be on one side the feeling of, "Oh man, I tore that out of my palms." But then there's the other side that is the, "Wow, that was so exciting." Paul, again in 1 Timothy, says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age." The difference, the focus is in generosity. Generosity in Jesus' name makes a huge impact. Why do we love Christmas? Now a kid will say, "Well, because I get gifts." Mom and Dad, is that your favorite part? The gifts that you get? There's something in us that when we give those gifts to somebody, that we experience the joy of generosity. You realize that the Bible even says this, doesn't it? In Acts, it actually says it is better to give than to receive. We love it when we're able to give. Sometimes our focus is just in the wrong place. But when we actually are generous towards God, when we're generous towards others, all of a sudden there's this joy that wells up inside of us because we know that we have done something that is pleasing to the Lord and has helped someone else. Our focus must be on generosity. Let me ask you a question here this morning as we wrap this up. When was the last time you were generous towards God? What did it look like? That's a very interesting, something to consider. When was the last time that I was generous towards God? What did I do? What did it feel like? What was the response that I experienced from God? Focus is everything. The rich man in the parable was called a fool. Not because he was lazy, not because he lived off the generosity of others. He wasn't a fool because he did business unwisely. He wasn't a fool according to world competency. He was a fool because his focus was on the wrong stuff. He had misplaced focus. What would it look like if our focus changed completely and it was a completely on living for God? What do you think would happen in our lives? We need a fresh wind. I believe that when we understand the fresh wind of God flowing in our lives and through our lives, it will change the focus of who we are. And it will drive us to live in a way that is pleasing to Him every day. Where is your focus this morning? Has it been misplaced? Or is it rock solid on your Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes your teaching is tough to take. We understand that the man in this story could truly be replaced with our name many times. That our focus shifts off of you and onto the things we have or the things that we do. But Lord, would you reshape our focus? Return it to you this morning. Change us from the inside out for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.